Hey everyone, surprise! May the 4th be with you. Welcome back to Rocking Your Bald Podcast. I am your host, Jen, and I wanted to have some fun and talk about Star Wars. Star Wars has been around forever. If you know it, you know it. If you love it, you love it. I know I love it. I had my two very dear friends, Colin Weil and Lauren Hazel, stop by to rock with me and talk about one of the things that brought us together as friends. We also co-moderate the Star Wars Universe Club on the Clubhouse app. And we've been doing this now for a number of years and we just have a great time over there. So I wanted to bring that to you all today. I hope you enjoy today's conversation. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Colin, Lauren, hi. Happy May the 4th. How are you both doing today?
Hey, great.
Doing good. May the 4th.
May the 4th. Do you guys celebrate May the 4th?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
It's not a designated holiday for me. I will post. But I do post like on my LinkedIn professional profile, I'll put like May the 4th, I'll put like a Star Wars reference on there. I've been doing that, but I don't like take off and that type of thing.
You don't put on a movie or a show just for the day and listen to it in the background?
I haven't done that yet. I'll take time to put like, oh, it's May the 4th. So I'll have a post that will go out on LinkedIn, because on LinkedIn, I'm very open about my nerddom. So like, there's stuff on there. I have an article on there, I think, talking about Star Wars and Game of Thrones and all that other stuff. So it's not uncommon, but it's like refreshing to see. Like, oh, yeah, I'm very upfront about that. Facebook, of course. And that's about the extent. I don't like, oh, I'm going to listen to the audiobook, even though that's a good idea to have an audiobook in the background, because there's a lot of good Star Wars audiobooks.
Oh, gosh. Before I go on a tangent.
I've introduced you to some, don't you? Yeah, because you be gone.
Okay, I'm going to go. But Colin, you said you celebrate May the 4th. What do you do to celebrate?
Yeah, it's a big family event. I've got two kids, a 4 and a 1-year-old. And so it's usually, we've got like our Star Wars waffle maker. So we've got like Star Wars waffles for breakfast.
Something.
You know, all of the food is usually themed towards Star Wars. So like last year, my wife threw together like these little like, I don't know, just like cucumber that were in the shape of Yoda, and she'll go online and find like cute little.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. And then we've done like, you know, white chocolate that's been dyed blue or green. And we've done like pretzels dipped in chocolate to look like lightsabers, fun stuff like that. And usually we'll watch a portion of one of the movies, because obviously they're too young to watch a full movie. And so we usually watch, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes of a movie before we go into the bath. But yeah, it's usually a day. We have like gotten dressed up in the past, or like, dressed up, I guess, like put on our Star Wars shirts and we'll take a picture together. And we have done also like Halloween costumes in the past, which meant that we have some like kind of costume type stuff. So usually it's fun. We've got toy lightsabers that we're constantly hitting each other with
nice.
All the time, but those are out for sure on May the 4th. So it's a fun day at our house.
Oh, man. I will usually myself will play a movie, one of the movies, or maybe one of the things I'm playing more often is Star Wars Visions, because they're very short episodes. So just having that in the background as well. But that's really cool that you guys do things and you make fun little foods. Do you have those Star Wars cookbooks that came out on the market?
No, I have seen them. They're really cool. I just cheap. And so we just do Pinterest, whatever we can find. And then my wife will just like see the image and be like, okay, I think I can make this happen, and kind of do her own take on stuff. But honestly, I should. And I know you can get those from the library. And so maybe we will this year. I'll in advance reserve from the library and do something like that. But I know that there definitely are some really fun books like that out there.
Oh, I love it.
Support your local library. Yeah, because you can, if the books are digital, a lot of libraries, you can rent the digital book and be like, hey, what recipe? But Pinterest is a great gold mine for stuff like that, too.
I love nice I have certain boards on Pinterest that I scare myself, where there's over 1,000 pins. And I'm like, how did I get to that? I have to go through and clean.
That's pretty. Yeah.
The Star Wars board is one of them.
Oh, OK. Yeah, I can see your Star Wars board being like 1,000 to 3,000 random things of Star Wars.
Yeah. I think one of the things, though, I love about Pinterest now that they did is that when you pin something you've already pinned, they have that you've already saved this. So then I don't save the same thing twice. That has been such a lifesaver. So when did you both get introduced to Star Wars? I'm assuming it was a film that you got into at some point. But when was the first time you were introduced to Star Wars? Was it a book maybe before a film? And then you got into the films later. And where were you at?
Want me to go first?
I have a memory. Yeah, but you go first because I'm still thinking of the first memory.
Sure.
Yeah, go first.
I grew up, I was born in the early 90s. And so I was peak time for Episode 1. Like I had watched the older films as a young kid, but I was like peak, like when I think back of my childhood, it's literally like Star Wars Episode 1, like bath soap and, you know, all the marketing stuff that came out with Episode 1. And that was like my initial, not introduction, because again, I knew Star Wars beforehand, but like that was a big part of my childhood, you know, those films coming out. And then I've always been a fan. I was always that guy that like, I've got like an Eddie Bauer, like Star Wars jacket from when I was like, I don't know, 15 or something like that. Something that I really wanted that was really nerdy. And I was always like that guy. I've got an R2-D2 backpack that like is in the shape of R2-D2. It looks like it's hanging on your back. So I was always that kid. But in 2020 with the pandemic, I was furloughed for a little bit from my job. So I was not working for a few months. And I kind of told myself, I was like, I really want to like fully embrace Star Wars fandom beyond just being someone who like watches the films, watches the shows and has some paraphernalia. So that's when I started listening to or reading all of the books. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of had a goal that I would like consume every piece of canon. And so to this date, I've read every novel, read or listened to every novel, and consumed every piece of visual media. And I'm working on comics. It's just trickier to get comics because I used to always carry comics. Comics are expensive. Just every time a new novel comes out, I do that. But I think in 2020 alone, I think I listened to 50 different Star Wars novels.
Wow.
I went like super hard. And now, I've listened to or read all of them. And that's something that I really enjoyed. And it really helped, you know, like open up the universe as a whole to me. I would say like there's better novels and stories told in novels than many of the shows and movies. Like there's so many stories there.
True. That,
like the fandom like totally misses out on, or they're like, you know, mad about The Last Jedi. And I'm like, cool, but did you read any of these other really cool Star Wars properties? And so The High Republic is a great, you know, a great example of, I really enjoy everything that they produce for The High Republic. And most fans are still mad about Episode 9. And I'm like, okay, get over it. There's a lot of really great Star Wars out there. And so 2020 was my, like, I've declared that I am a formal, like, nerd. Like, I would, you know, die on the Star Wars hill and have a strong opinion about stuff.
I love that. What about you, Lauren?
Okay, so with me, my first encounter with Star Wars was the films. My mother, of course, was alive and went to all that. But, you know, she had the VHS. I'm a little older than Colin, so I was born in the late 80s. So we have VHS still. That's how my first encounter was watching Star Wars, the movie, you know, in a basement and, you know, with the VHS. And that was the first encounter with Star Wars as a whole, but it's just one of the movie pieces that we particularly had. But I did experience, you know, Phantom Menace when they started redoing the movies, putting the movies back out again, because it came out on my birthday. And so I was already into watching Star Wars, because me and my mother, we would watch a whole lot of shows. And funny thing enough, I should be a big Trekkie, because I've watched the first Star Trek all the way through, in black and white to color to everything, right? Up to that time. Considering, because my mother was older and she watched it, and this was our rare time together where we got to do and watch these things, and so movies and television was our thing together, one of the things we had. So Star Wars to me, most of the time I watched Star Wars was probably with my mom or by myself and my cousin. So it brings those types of memories back from the originals, but then there was nothing else, right? There was nothing else unless you read some, you know, you got in touch with some small, the old Legends books, right, which were still around. Mm-hmm. During that time. So, but that's my first encounter with Star Wars to episode one, which I got to go on my birthday and see that. And the first guidebook that I encountered for Star Wars was through Scholastic, when they give you the little cheap order sheets in school.
Yep.
And I bought, and my mother got it for me. I was so excited. And these things were expensive and we didn't have really any money. So for me to get these book things, you know, that was a lot. And she let me get that one. I had that guidebook for years until it fell apart. I think it got in the basement like almost 15, 20 years later. But
I love it.
Old guidebook. This is before Phantom Menace. So it had all the blurbs of what Anakin's story was going to be, his backstory, before the movie came out. So they asked, I don't know if they meant to do this, because I don't know if they knew they were making the movie, because this is years before the movie was made. Hmm. So they put the backstory blurb of Anakin in there. So it was all there in this book. And they had blurbs on all these people that the movie wasn't out there for, that the movie, they know, it was like a pitch. We're going to pitch Phantom Menace in this guidebook by giving you all this stuff. And so I remember that.
Wow.
And I don't think you can find that book anymore. To me, it was amazing. So those are my first earlier experiences, like with Star Wars and stuff like that.
I love that. And the fact that they had already thoughts about Anakin's story and what they were going to possibly do with it before the first movie came out. That's awesome. You still have it, right?
No, that book is like long gone, but it was sold in an old Scholastic book sheet. So it was about maybe this thick, and it was like showing you, you know, pictures. Now this is before Phantom Menace came about, but they were giving you the backstory and all kinds of stuff before Phantom Menace. Then there was another book that was similar to it that gave you all the pre-stuff, which is the normal, hey, here's the movie, here's the guidebook, picture, you know, dictionary for the movie afterward. But that book came out maybe 5-6 years before. So this is before I think the movie got greenlit. So in this book was like, if there were production notes of what they were going to do, it was all in the book.
Oh, wow.
And it was freaking amazing.
I want that book.
I love all the old.
She was.
I love all the old visual dictionaries with like the cross sections of the ships and stuff. I know they still produce them, but there's something to be said about those old ones, like the like indies books and stuff. There's some cool stuff out there.
Yeah, some old, because remember, Lucasfilms was, he still owned it. So he licensed everything to everybody. So there's these random books with behind the scenes stuff and books with the Legends canon side character stuff that's existed, because he just let people do what they wanted to do.
So let me ask you this, because you both have two different interesting entry points. What is it about Star Wars for both of you that has kept your attention and why you think you've grown to love it so much? Because when I was introduced to Star Wars, I was about 4 or 5 years old. And my favorite film is Return of the Jedi. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you have no comprehension of character arcs and story building, world building, and understanding that Luke in episode 2 is the same Luke in, Luke in episode 5 is still the same Luke in episode 6. Walking in the desert. For some reason, my kid brain couldn't connect that. And then I don't know how my dad said it at the time, but it was something in the tonality that says, Jen, that's Luke. He's a Jedi now. And then you see him in Jabba's palace using the Force, and I'm just freaking out. Oh my gosh, he's using the Force. He's dressed in black. This is serious. And just falling in love even more from that moment, and just has carried me through.
That's funny there. When you talk about like kids not understanding story arcs, and like explaining to my son, who was maybe 3 at the time, Anakin becomes Darth Vader. So he's like good, and then he's bad, but then he's good again. And like, he's like, what is happening? And no, he's bad. He's only ever bad. Like, in his mind, he's like always a villain. And I'm like, no, you can change over time. I think Star Wars for me is a combination of, I've always just like fantasy genre in general.
Yeah.
I'm a big, like, well, depending on what it is, because I'm somewhat particular, but I love like Lord of the Rings. Like the Inheritance series. I'm a Harry Potter nerd, so I like a lot of the, you know, fandom stuff that's out there. But Star Wars, I think what stands out to me is a combination of like, it's this massive universe, but also it's so small and intimate. Like, as you start to, I don't know, like I'm listening to Crimson Climb which is the backstory on Kira from the Solo film.
Okay.
It's a recent release. It came out earlier this year or last year in 2023. And, you know, she's just in passing, like, oh, I was talking to this Twi'lek. I'm like, I know who Twi'lek. I know what the Twi'lek species is. And I can imagine it. And I, like, you become so familiar with the species and the characters that you, and I'm like, oh, I know when that Twi'lek is talking, they probably have a French accent because that's like yes. all they develop. So it's just, to me, like, there's this balance of familiarity, but also that it's new. And so I just love that about Star Wars, that, like, again, you see a species multiple times throughout and it's like important to you. And, you know, one of the things for me that I, and again, I, as an adult, need to revisit the series that must not be named that also starts with Star. And what I remember as a kid, it was hard to get into it because they were constantly going to a new place, new place, new place, new place. And you didn't really like get to know the different species as much unless they were on one of the ships. And so for me, that was a different experience, where with Star Wars, you see those connections throughout. And that's something that I think I've always really like been drawn towards.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The way you're introduced to a character and how you're immersed in their world and their personal story, depending on how it connects to maybe Luke or Anakin or Leia, and how it's gonna affect the greater story overall. It really takes the time to delve into that, which is something as a fan I appreciate, because I love that world building aspect, because we saw that in the Book of Boba Fett with the Tusken Raiders, how they expanded that story and gave more substance to them, as opposed to the initial introduction, which was they're just mass killers. You can't trust them. There was a culture to them. There was a way of living. So
yes,
I completely agree with that, Colin. What about you, Lauren?
Yeah, it's a mix, because at that time we watched, just think about me and my mom. So we, like, for instance, Darth Vader's voice. I know who it is. I know that it's James Earl Jones, because James Earl Jones did a lot of fantasy work. People don't realize how many fantasy films this man has done, whether he's voiced it or played the character. Yep. So like in the Conan films, this is the same voice. And so that was like, you know, I like Darth Vader as a character. And through Star Wars, the world building of building that character out versus what we know the original, you know, Darth Vader was, to what we've gotten built out to this very interesting character who's like a dual personality to Anakin Skywalker, the great hero, right? And so I thought that was, I do love world building and some character development. And the funny thing about Star Wars is Luke is probably the most interesting character in the first three movies for me. He is not the most interesting character for me. Like, some people, they, you know, especially the Star Wars loud and proud haters of this is destroying my childhood, because they had like the focus is not on Luke and the greatness of Luke and everything else. To me, he's like the most least interesting character. I think Leia as a character is actually more interesting. To me, like, is much more interesting character who's in this series. You know, I think Darth Vader, since we know so much more about him, he's hell of a much more interesting, because the fact that he didn't really trust the Emperor either, and he was doing all kinds of stuff. The Emperor's doing his thing. He's also doing things. You find that out, like, it's crazy.
I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Anakin's suit in his season of Darth Vader keeps him in perpetual pain to control him.
Yes.
And to keep him intentionally always in pain and to never have. I mean, this is why I really feel for Anakin until the ending of 6. He really never gets to experience peace at all, which adds why to he doesn't trust the Emperor. I'm trying to put myself in Anakin's shoes. How would I feel knowing that this person is keeping me in the suit to keep me in pain as a form of control?
Yeah.
It's messed up.
Yeah. So it's a. Yeah, it's messed up, the torture, because it's torture, right? And it's done that way to keep him in a certain mindset. Like, maybe if he wasn't always in pain all the time, he can have more clearer thoughts about something. And it's hard because this hurts. And if you take this off, you're dead. And all these things that went on. I mean, in that book that I mentioned earlier, it literally talked in ridiculous detail about everything about that suit, from the helmet to the breathing apparatus to if he had teeth left and how that was like for him to chew and all kinds of stuff. And it was horrible. As I still remember it vividly, it was terrible. That was torture. That was, yes, it was preserving his life, but the things that he would go through and he what he couldn't do, and they had him plugged into shit, and he would try to fix things on his own suit to give him, make it work better, like the hands and the grip. He would actually mess, because, you know, Anakin was an engineer. He liked to tinker with things. He was trying to fix pieces of his own suit. Yeah. And it's so, like, the amazing, like, I think Darth Vader is a much more interesting character. He's one of the favorite characters in there. That whole arc with that, we find out. Luke, to me, is the least interesting character because he starts off as the farm boy. He's a nobody, right? And he's in this, you know, crappy planet. He's a farmer. He's kind of like trailer park trash-ish. His uncle won't let him go join the Air Force military thing. And yeah, I can see how that story, you know, a lot of people or certain folks relate to that type of story, only to find out that he is the son of, now he has lineage and has all these other things. So it makes his character arc a little bit less because, yeah, he's descended from something versus he was a nobody and you kept the nobody aspect. No, he is somebody. He's descended from this person who was da da da. And therefore he can buy into it and believe himself in a different way. I just think I think Leia's story is more interesting. How does this princess who could have been safe and stuff like that decide she wants to be a freedom fighter? She's not someone with a lot of mouth. She's willing to be tortured, which we've seen. She's willing to fight. She's willing to kill it. I think that's really amazing.
And to your point about Leia being more interesting, especially when you get into the books, because I'm starting to get into the books now. And
Okay.
Yeah, no, just seeing how she views Anakin, who she, all she knows is as Vader. So she has this point of view of Darth Vader, who he is, but then finding out that's actually Anakin Skywalker and that's your dad. And then going through all the trauma of what she's dealt with since she was a kid with Vader, growing up, getting captured, being tortured by him. Seeing him torture the man that becomes her husband, who she had the kid with later, who is technically Anakin's son-in-law. You know, that's just a lot of messed up trauma. And then also with her being in the Senate, playing both sides, there's a lot more layers to it. I would agree with that.
Yeah, and then the fact that her and Luke, remember, they're trying to have this sister-brother relationship. They're trying, because remember, they didn't grow up together, right?
No. Had no awareness of each other.
Right, they have no awareness of each other. So now you're trying to build this relationship with your brother. He's always off doing what he needs to do. And then we find out Jedi stuff later. But, you know, Luke idolizes his father and she doesn't feel that way. And she's like, well, now, even though we know Vader cut his hand off and everything, but Luke has that massive amount of compassion and all this other stuff. And she's like, I watched this man kill people or be the enforcer, torture me, torture and kill other folks that I've known. Sanctioned, because she's seen all of that, because she grew up watching that in a way that, remember, Luke never saw any of that in that way. Luke, so she lived under the enforcer, Vader.
And I think it's safe to say to a degree that Luke was sheltered on Tatooine because he has no knowledge of this until Obi-Wan takes him away and then the stormtroopers come because they're looking for him.
Right. Yeah, he's been sheltered. He didn't get the same experience. So even if you're reading Bloodlines, that's a credible book, where there's moments where she's feeling her feelings and Luke is kind of talking about, oh, he's redempt and blah, 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 and she's listening to it and she's trying to she's not arguing with him about his perspective. She's just like, how do I manage? Like, because he doesn't have that perspective in that way, even though his hand got cut off and stuff happened, right? But he hasn't experienced everything that she has. So she's trying to feel compassion. Like in that, and I think there was a paragraph, or something. She's trying to, and it's so difficult in that situation.
So let me backtrack just a little bit. What do you think it is about Star Wars from both of your perspectives? Colin, like you said, you really delve into it during COVID. You came in hard with the books. You read all the books. And then Lauren, you've been with it for a minute.
Yeah, for a little bit.
What do you think it is about Star Wars that it has lasted this long and that it's still just this, I don't know if powerhouse is the right word, but why it's still just such a standard and there's this great love for it and that it had up until this point, it really has stood the test of time.
Do you want the fluffy answer or the cynical answer?
Let's do both.
I want to hear this.
The reason why it's still around is because it's money.
Yeah, merchandising, merchandising.
Yes, merchandising.
Star Wars will be around this thing. It'll always make money. The trick is that Disney always has to be careful to make sure that just because it has the Star Wars label on it doesn't mean it's going to be extremely profitable. But as far as I am aware, nothing Star Wars has ever lost Disney money, as far as I know. Everything is like broken even, made a profit, but like not everything is the ultra blockbuster that makes $1 billion in the box office. Like that's not how it goes. And so I think that there's a, you know, there is a double-edged sword there, but I think it's, and this is what I'll tell you is the less cynical part of me is Star Wars can last because it can be generation. Where again, I watched it as a kid. My parents, I'm sure, watched it. They didn't have any, my parents, neither of them were really big nerds. And so like, I'm sure that they watched movies like the Star Wars movies when they came out originally or something like that. Yeah. But my kids now watch it a lot, like not all Star Wars because they're still young. They understand Star Wars, and Young Jedi Adventures is a great show that my four-year-old loves. Now he's tied into Star Wars, and it's cool because he's now tied into the High Republic, because he's like, oh, I really like that Loden Great Storm guy. And I'm like, and I won't talk about that now, but you know, it's so cool to see, you know, him and even a one-year-old playing with like little figurines and stuff. Like, you know, it becomes this generational thing, and I want them to have fresh Star Wars content to then be able to show to their kids one day. And what does it look like at that point? I don't know. And is it ever played out? No, as long as I feel like they continue to just build on the universe, and you can do so many unique ideas within the universe. And that's what the novels have shown. How do you like, you can tell a totally, and you know, between Visions and all these other things that they're trying, they're kind of, you know, what's the, you kind of like throw the noodle on the wall to see if it sticks. Like they're trying different things to see what sticks. And to me, that's like where they're going to be successful, is we don't always want to hear a Skywalker story. We don't always want to hear about Boba Fett, even though those things are great. Don't get me wrong, but continuing to build out. And so like, I'm super excited for The Acolyte. I'm very excited for, what's it called? Skeleton Crew should be really great.
Skeleton Crew.
I'm excited for those things because, again, it's more unique stories that have the familiar ties that we want, but can tell more stories and continue to build on the universe. I don't know if it's just me. They could turn so many of the novels that are existing into films and be successful.
It'd be fine, especially where you read the war novels, like the ones that are heavy. Like it's a perspective from those who worked in the Empire. Those are freaking incredible.
Oh yeah,
like the Ian Versal story and her crew, and I'm like, it's so damn good.
There's some good ones. I'm trying to think, like Aftermath. There's a couple really great stuff there, but they could totally do like not a rom com, but like, you know, a film like the Princess and the Scoundrel book was really fun. They could do like a short series based on.
I would love to see that book.
I'm talking about again, that's like maybe we're done with Han and Leia, and I know that there's always people's feelings about actors and them and people passing away, and I get that. So like maybe again, fresh characters, but there's so much out there that.
If we take an old character, we don't have so much like canon stuff on him, but like what does a young Mace Windu look like before he gets on the council? Those adventures. Even if it's just a thing and he just happens to be the, you know.
Well, and just even when he builds his lightsaber for the first time, it becomes purple. Because of Samuel L. Jackson, that's how we got the purple lightsaber. He only wanted to do
that's how he is, I know.
I'll do it if you give me a purple lightsaber. So thank you, Samuel. We love you for that. You can even turn that into a really interesting story. He's the first Jedi to have a purple lightsaber, and what that meant for him as a Jedi, as a Force-sensitive user. That would just be a really cool story to dive into and to really get into Mace's head and how that really...
A Force-sensitive user who slightly uses part of the Dark Force, that his technique is so unique and... Like, I think that makes for a good, like, him struggle with that technique, which is the reason why he acts the way he acts.
Yeah, teetering literally on that boundary line of the light and the dark. That is some really good storytelling I would love to witness and explore.
Well, I think there's so much. They could do a whole series on, what is it called, Free Ryloth movement? Like a whole series.
Oh, yeah. From,
just like Andor. Like Andor to me is a great show where you have mostly unique characters, a couple familiar, like people that, you know, like Mon Mothma love. But then it's all these unique characters. It's a cool story. They can kind of do whatever they want. They only have to play within certain major plot lines. There's so many things that could be out there that, again, there's already products that talk about a lot of these things that a part of me is like, if I was Disney, I'd be like, all right, which is the best novel that we think will make us the most amount of money? And then let's make a good movie. Let's make a really good film. Or let's make a really good, like I would love. And I don't know, this is tricky because for merchandising sake, they want long running series. I feel like more than they want one-offs. But I would love like a whole bunch of Star Wars miniseries where you get one season, say 6 to 8 episodes, kind of like what Echo has appeared to be. I don't know if they'll continue to explore Echo in the Marvel world, but like a few episodes where you just get into something and then, you know, tie it all up, call it good. Again, I don't know if they're going to do that because you can't like sustainably make money telling a unique story and then like ending it, you know, when they want to sell like Grogu merchandise. So I get that they want multiple seasons out of it, but I would love, just like what they did with Tales of the Jedi. Like,
oh yeah, I was thinking of that right away when you started talking about that.
Tell some stories, do that with live action. I think they could be really successful. And like the only reason I would say Andor wasn't a raving hit in everyone's eyes is because they took a very unique, you know, kind of take on Star Wars.
It was a completely new approach to storytelling in Star Wars.
But I think they
could. Yeah, this is the first time they.
I was going to say, I think they could do a very similar feel that the people are used to, but still tell new stories. Mm-hmm. Like they don't necessarily do it in the same way every time, but just like changing it up.
Yes, it's the uniqueness. Remember Rogue One? That was the first time they released a Star Wars movie like that. And they were afraid and cautiously like, I don't know. And it turned out to be one of their, out of the new movies, probably the best one made, to be honest with you. And then Andor is like, it's because the same writers or whatever for Andor taking that approach to Star Wars. Because technically, if you look at the books that are not focused on the Jedi and the Sith relationship, but are focused on the people on the ground, Andor hits a lot more like that. It fits more into, we're going to get possibly those books turned into a series because you can, only from the Empire's perspective, because you get a lot more, you're getting a lot more of that with Andor, and then they still kept a little bit of that with Kenobi when they start talking about all these ex-Imperials and stuff like that. And so experimenting with bringing those stories in with that. And, you know, Andor was very, in some places, was maybe too slow because you're telling multiple stories at the same time with Andor. And that's the danger of doing that, right? What's the danger of that type of storytelling and that type of medium is like you're telling multiple stories, so sometimes it drags a little bit, or there's questions that are never going to be answered, right? But you're trying to show something, so sometimes it didn't work as well. But there's some great stuff in Andor, even though a lot of it was like, I think, if you're looking something for you, keep your most episodes of Andor do not do that. And Andor, because they did not give the backstory as to what's the big deal between Mon Mothma and her husband. Yeah, that's an arranged marriage sort of situation going on. In her culture, they do it like this. But both of them didn't want their daughter to do that. And the situation of danger, like, it. I think if the daughter, which is a whole thing, because I know the backstory on it, it's a mess. Her family life is a mess, right? But if you don't know that coming in, everyone's like asking these questions. I was informed, people like, I don't get why this is happening. People like, yeah, because this happened. Mm. Because it was like, you know, that. But I think, you know, you can have, there's a lot of great stories in the books that I would love to see in maybe a one season series. Like you said, it doesn't have to be, it's not a 3-season show. It's like maybe 2 at most with some. But if you're not going to do a mini series, like, hey, these 4 episodes, that's that situation. Like, for instance, since we got Sabine being another Mandalorian Jedi, we know of the famous Mandalorian Jedi, but there were a few Mandalorian Jedis, not many of them, because of the way the Mandalorian ethos is. It's harder. There's stuff you have to let go, and it's stuff you can keep, right? We can do a whole thing on him Or even this, because how the Darksaber got in the possession of the Mandos anyway, which was a whole big thing. We could do a mini series about his death, the funeral, and the arguments that went on between the Jedi Council and Mandalore about getting this man's body. That was a whole thing. And them breaking in to the the Jedi Temple and having this massive fight. With the saber.
To what Colin was saying before, there's so many, how this universe can just keep expanding and just exploring these different things, because those are all interesting stories that I would love to see told, whether if it's a mini series or put into a film, if it makes sense for a film for the industry, since they still have to do films for the industry. Definitely.
Yeah.
But Lauren, I would like to hear your opinion too, from your perspective and how long you've been in the Star Wars universe. What do you think on why it's still a staple the way it is? I mean, yeah, we have the merchandising component and that's always going to be there. But I think from the story perspective with the fans and how it just resonates, why do you think it's still so greatly loved?
Because I think the one thing, and let's say comparison to Trekkies versus the Star Wars folks, and I should be very much a Trekkie considering my history with it. I think what keeps people coming back to Star Wars, or what makes it continually attractive, is that you get to really let go of a lot of reality. Okay, so you get to let go of a ton of reality in Star Wars, which in some fantasy, especially sci-fi shows, especially at that time in the 90s, you had sci-fi that was very heavy political first. And yes, there was aliens, but it's very in your face. And sometimes Star Wars allows you the ability at a lot of times to let go. So whether it's some comedy in it and stuff, now with the darker stuff on Andor, it's a little less fantasy and it feels more reality based on, what's going on around you. But the concept of the Jedi, I think the Star Wars does not work without Jedi and the Force. If you take that out, it's battle-scarred Galactica and it doesn't work as well. We could have powers and we could do these things and we could have zoom, 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 happening.
Blasty.
I knew you was going to do that. So we had to have that once. So
that's a good point. That's interesting because a lot of people didn't like Andor because we didn't have as much Jedi and stuff. I do agree that there needs to be ties to it. But I do think that there are, if they're not going to tie to the Jedi, they really got to tie into something else that's super familiar. And so they really got to tie heavily, like you said, into the Empire or heavily into, I'm trying to think of another example, Mandalore or something like that, where there isn't as much like Mandalorian. You know, we've had a couple tie-ins, obviously like Grogu and the Force, that's a whole thing. But there hasn't still been a lot of Jedis in it. And I think it's still been, or lightsabers, and it's still been successful. I don't think they ever needed to introduce Ahsoka or Luke, and it still would have been as successful. I think those were great. And they, as fans, make it that much more exciting because we love those tie-ins. But I agree. I think there needs to be a balance of that. Yeah, I totally agree with you just about letting go of reality, because that's just so nice. It's so nice to not have to worry about, this couldn't happen. I'm like, doesn't matter. It's not real.
It's fantasy. That's the beautiful thing about fantasy, which is why D&D is popular for those of us who are into D&D. You can do whatever you want. There's parameters, but then you can.
Right.
It can be whatever you make it to be. And that's one of the reasons why I love it, is because, I can go in, I can unplug, I can watch stories that somehow, because of how George Lucas pulls from society and the things going on in the world, which is why I think it's another why these things are so successful, because they are relatable. I remember when, and we talked about this in our Star Wars rooms when Kenobi came out in Clubhouse, when I was watching the first few episodes of Kenobi, seeing where he's at in Tatooine and his new state of life, it made me think of my grandfather who served in World War II. He passed away when I was I have this photo that my grandmother wrote on with his comrades. It says that my grandfather was the only one that survived. But seeing Kenobi in that state made me think of my grandfather. Wow. And it caused me to think of other people who serve in the military and what they go through and trying to find a new path of normal. It these characters, and it can be a droid too, because one of everyone's favorite droids is Chopper. Like, I love Chopper because he's did you take my thing on a bomber? I did not take your thing on a bomber. Yes, you did. You can hear it. But
I know.
These characters are so relatable. And then to touch on Anakin again, just how they expanded Anakin's story and how your empathy grows for him. And it's the same thing with Leia because of all the layers of trauma. I remember when I told my therapist about the Princess and the Scoundrel book, and I was like, you're going to love this because it goes into her trauma of Vader and listening to Luke and talk and the more positive. She was so intrigued.
Cindy, your therapist, like, yeah, you're going to love this. You're going to have to struggle.
But that's what I mean. It's just so relatable because my therapist, from a professional aspect, wants to read this book because she wants to see the dynamic between Luke and Leia and their different views of Vader. Because even though these are fictional characters, it's relatable because of the trauma. It just holds up in a unique way. What's a character that's resonated with you guys? I have a few.
Not just one. And movie or book or TV.
Whichever. Whichever one.
He don't pull some out.
He got his Han Solo.
Han Solo is my guy. I'm holding my Han Solo Black Series figure. It's funny, in the older films, when I was younger, I used to be like, oh, why is he such a jerk? But when you really get into his story, and him being a jerk is like his like survival defense mechanism. But he's genuinely the most selfless person out there. Genuinely deep down. Like, he wants to do it for other people. Like, obviously, yeah, he's good with money and stuff for himself. But again, when you get into the books, the way that his compassion for Chewbacca is so crazy. And like, again, the backstories, a couple of little stories you get between Solo, the film, and then the other books around Solo, the one I'm listening to now, you just really get to know Han Solo as a really deep character. The other one that there's the one, blanking on the name right now, but there's, it's the like Lando and his book. I want to say it's called like Last Shot, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's like him and Ben is a baby and Leia's at home with Ben and he shouldn't be at home with Ben. But he's like, I'm going to go do some sort of smuggling because he just scared of being a bad father. And so he's like, I'm just going to like try and do something else, to like try and, you know, make up for being a bad father when he realizes I need to be at home with my kid. And there's so many intricacies and there's so much depth to Han Solo that is built outside of just the things. That's why he's always been my favorite character.
I love that.
Yeah, Han's amazing.
He is.
Yeah. Han is an amazing character.
What about you, Lauren?
Oh, man, there's a few. Like, of course, I like Vader. I like that whole thing you get to learn, especially the intricacies of his suit. It's a tragic story, but you know, it's so interesting. Leia was never my big favorite, but the more you find out about her, the more I appreciate her because she is an amazing character development, you know, her stuff with there. So I'll give her a mention, even though I was more of a Vader fan. Let's see. Now for newer characters, Ahsoka, I love Ahsoka's story. The book that used to be canon, the Ahsoka book, it's a lot of good things in there that dealt with trauma, PTSD as a soldier and all that other stuff that I think they tried, because Filoni can't write, but he tried to put those tiny bit of those elements in the Ahsoka TV series and he couldn't quite do it. But I'm like, no, she really has terrible PTSD and she has a fear of her becoming dark side because she's already gone through that if you watch Clone Wars and losing people. Everybody around her has died or tried to kill her and died.
And then her master, Anakin, turns to the dark side and starts killing everyone else who is a Jedi.
Yeah, he was a Jedi and done horrible things to people, enslaved people on world and all these things. And for her, it's like, I'm a part of a legacy. And the whole thing is, so I'm a part of a legacy of death. This is not what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a Jedi. You know, I wanted to be a consulate. I wanted to help people and be a peacekeeper, not someone who's... She kind of viewed herself as a monster, actually.
I haven't dove into the books yet because I'm starting in High Republic right now. And then I've read The Princess and the Scoundrel with Joe and Colin in the book club we did in Clubhouse. But just from what I've seen and the stuff I see on social media when I do my research, she does blame herself for a lot of things. And I'm happy that they did tap into in the Ahsoka show, especially when it comes to Anakin. And for me as a fan, what I saw on the show, I actually really enjoyed, because I thought it was really good that she had that moment with Anakin to really work that out and to see that she was a child soldier. She had to adapt in ways that she really wasn't supposed to, because she's in the Jedi Order. That's not what they're supposed to be. Adding another element to why the Jedi Order fell, because what we're learning in the High Republic and where the Jedi were, and then how they just cultivated over time, that got away from the original idea or lifestyle of it. But yeah, she has so many layers to her and what she goes through. And she's another character, though, like Obi-Wan, that doesn't turn to the dark side with everything she's been through. She's one of the very few that doesn't do that, which I also think is, for her character, that it just shows how strong she is, that she can have that.
Go ahead. We could debate that, because remember, one in the arc, in the Immortus arc, she actually does, and then she dies, and then she's resurrected, and then that moment, that scene in Ahsoka show, she does turn dark side for a minute, but it's about control. It's about accepting it, because part of that was the lesson about Jedi and dark side. They never accept that this is a part of you, but don't let it overtake you.
Mm-hmm.
She learns that lesson. Like, yes, I'm part of this history. I can be Sith. So you see that view of Sith eyes, and then she makes the choice, but I will not. And that's what Anakin's like, finally learns.
He chooses to live. She chooses to live.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a beautiful moment. I loved it. I don't care who you are.
It was so cute.
I love it. I'm a big Hayden Christensen fan. So when I heard him say hello, Snips, I was like, well, what? I wasn't that prepared for it.
I know. You went crazy in the WhatsApp, I think. It was, I didn't even know what happened. I was like, what's the matter?
I cried. I was very happy. I think for me, I love Yoda, because Yoda makes me laugh. When I was a kid and I first saw Yoda, I just loved how he made me laugh, and he's hitting R2 with his walking stick and just this cute little laugh that he has. So I always love Yoda. But I think over time, as I've gotten into Star Wars and my understanding of it and getting more into the lore, I actually started resonating more with Padme Amidala. I love Padme Amidala. I'm going to get into the book soon, but I've been like doing more research on her. Her story is also very, very interesting. And it's just something about her that I feel like I'm being drawn more to her. But then I also love Mon Mothma and how they've expanded her story in the recent shows, and to see what she goes through. She is resilient. I love her.
She is the real, I think there's something about leaders, and like they have terrible family lives, a lot of them, especially when they're like in times of war and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Leia is one of those who suffers that. Mon Mothma, definitely, when you get into,
Yes. I know we got to wind it down here, but have you guys gotten into any of the games? Are you, Lauren, I know you're a gamer, but have you gotten into the games of Star Wars?
I played the Star Wars game a while ago that I forgot the name, something.
But I haven't
played any other games. I watch.
Oh, you
Fallen Order, I've watched people play through rather than me play it.
Okay. Do you want to play it?
Not really. I like, because some stuff, I just like the stories, and I like watching other people play through the story rather than me do it. So I'll just watch people play through the story. And I think that's pretty cool.
Did you do any of the Battlefronts?
Yes, I did. I played a lot of Battlefront, though.
Yay. What about you, Kyle?
I was so excited when they... So I don't really have any consoles. And so I don't really game. When I was younger, loved those games. I love the original two Battlefront games when they announced the remakes of them. Because those two games are now out on, PS4, 5, Xbox One.
Yeah.
Well, if those have come out or they've just been announced, but that is so fun because I still play occasionally with my brother-in-law on my computer, Battlefront 2.
Nice.
You can still play online on the servers, like on Steam, and there's still randomly people out there playing it online. And like when I was younger, I remember when that game came out, and found out that you could play as like just heroes versus villains. And so I could be Darth Maul as long as I wanted. I'm like, oh, this is so fun. Or like I can be an Ewok and I can run around and, you know, like do those terrible, like, you know, try and I run out of spears and I'm like, oh, what do I do now? But yeah, I played those games. They had like an Age of Empires style game that was Star Wars called Empire at War that I remember playing. I did play Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2, like old computer games. So I guess I did play some of the older PC games, but I just really haven't been into gaming a ton as an adult. I take on too much stuff, so I don't have time for those sorts of
things. You got things and you got 2 kids.
Yeah, and I'm
and you're the king of Lego, so
graduate degree. I'm really into Lego, so yeah. One day, eventually, I'd like to get a console and play the occasional games, or like build my own computer and play some of the newer ones. But I definitely have either watched some playthroughs or like read in depth like plot summaries from a lot of the games, just because some of the newer games are canon and there's some great story development there.
Yeah.
So like, you know, Jedi Fallen Order is a good example of one that I've read through all of the plots. So I don't feel like I miss out on anything when eventually they do some sort of film or franchise about, you know, their characters. So.
Yeah, because we already got a, BD1 plug in, what was it? Boba Fett with that Mandalorian 2.5 episode, I think it was, or maybe it wasn't one of the Mandalorian episodes, but they put a BD1 in the show. So it's like, is that the BD1 or is it a different BD1? So now it's like, that means it's canon type of thing.
Remember, are you talking about Mata Pelly? She has a little of the same droid. I don't know what the actual, I guess it's a BD droid.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. So I guess, I don't know if technically it's anything tied to Cal, but it's the first time you have seen that droid elsewhere. So yeah, that's how. I got the tiny Lego. I know it's around behind me somewhere. I got the tiny little Lego figurine of this droid. It's so small.
So cute.
There's the buildable one is really cool, but I don't know. Space. Yeah, there's great games out there. They do a really good job. One day I'll get into them more.
What's your favorite Star Wars Lego set that you have? What was the one you were like, yes, I can finally build this one?
Well, there's a lot that I don't have that I would like. but I would say a favorite. One of my favorites is Darth Maul's ship. It's the Infiltrator, I think is what it's called. Just a really, you know, it's really gray and stuff. I would say whoever's listening can't see what I'm holding right now. But it's just a really cool ship.
That is nice.
I think I want to build that.
Fly around. It's got a speeder. Really cool, like, cockpit type stuff. There's a lot of really great Star Wars ships out there. I would say, honestly, some of my favorites that I don't own yet came out this last year with the Ahsoka show. There's just some really nice colors. Shin Hati has her own little ship, a new version of Ahsoka's ship. There's some really great colored builds, really great shaping. The new version of the Ghost is really cool. So I would like to eventually get that, hopefully before it retires. That's the goal. So sometime I think it'll last another probably year and a half on the shelves. So I'll have to try and get it before then.
Do you think you want to build a Falcon one day?
I have a small one and that's fine for me. I'm not like a big UCS $800 Lego set kind of guy. So I've got a play scale. So a normal sized version over there in a display case and love it. It's one of the originals. It was from 2004 and has a lot of nostalgic value to me. And so that's probably the only Millennium Falcon I'll probably ever buy just because I know they've made, I think, 6, like you can only have so many in your, you know, they just redo it every few years and that's fine for new people that are getting into it.
Yeah.
But I'm not really like a duplicate person. Like the only X-Wing I have is Poe's X-Wing and it's black. So it's not even the iconic X-Wing. So I'm like, maybe I'll get like the normal colored one, but I'm like, this one's fine for now.
What about you, Lauren? I know you showed us one earlier, but do you have a Lego set that you're like, I need to build that or life is meaningless?
I got one that I need to build. Actually, I got a TIE fighter that I have to go get a new one in and build that. And I have actually whatever her name was, Reva's ship, the Inquisitor ship, the all black one. I got to build that. I got the box. So I can't wait to build that one. But I got to once I finish. Luke's one, I gotta finish this one, the X-Wing, and then I'll probably either do the black one, Revan ship, or I'll do the TIE fighter next.
I love it. Well, I want to thank you both for being on today. This has been really fun to do May the 4th episode with you both to talk about Star Wars. Colin, where can people find you on social media?
So I'm a big Lego nerd. So I have Lego, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. So it's at Wiley Bricks, W-Y-L-I-E Bricks. So if anyone ever wants to talk, I do talk Star Wars there this week. A lot of May the 4th content that's going up, and I'll have more coming out after May the 4th. But I kind of usually turn May into like Star Wars as a general theme, and so I try and do some fun videos that I've been planning for a while, which is kind of fun. But yeah, that's where people can find me if they want to.
They should really make May the official celebration of Star Wars Month, because there's so much in May that has happened in Star Wars history. Lovely Lauren, where can people find you on social media?
Cool. Well, I do stream, and sometimes I stream my Lego build. So if you go on Twitch, you can find me as Knights of G. I am one of the Lego builds there. I also play a RPG video game. So that, I also have my YouTube channel, which is Knights of G, which is one of my streams go there, as well as on Facebook, Knights of G. And yes, I have a TikTok that is Knights of G, and a Twitter /X that is Knights of G. If you want that kind of content, you can find me there as one of my usernames.
Love it. Thank you guys so much. And for anyone else who's interested, us three actually have a Star Wars fan club on Clubhouse, the Star Wars Universe Club. We just concluded Bad Batch. We're getting ready for new shows. We have a book club going on. Replays are always on, so you can listen to all those archived messages and just how we nerd out about one of the things we love. So check it out.